On this episode of Japan 2.0.
I feel like the animal life we get here is crazy, wild. No pun intended.
It seems a little wild.
Granted, I live by the water, but I get like crabs sometimes. I was walking down the street, I see like a crab go by. Like all the time, like geckos and lizards.
Yeah. Mystical world of game and wonder. Arcade centers like no other. Nostalgia, yeah. Every moment, everything you see. When I jump all on it, damn. Walking through these halls, my childhood is written on these walls. I breathe the air deep down. I know this place is where I belong. My destiny, my wildest dream, my fantasy, my inspiration and my energy. Everything up to this point, this place has led me. Yeah, there's no place that's better. My fascination can't go on forever. So real, like a faded meeting with a friend who knew straight from beginning.
Hey, it's Japan 2.0. We are here today in February. February 1st, the best day of the whole year, if I might say so myself.
Yes. Why is it special?
It's my birthday.
Happy birthday, David.
That's right.
We're celebrating with
recording an episode a podcast.
Japan 2.0.
Yep.
I'm Matt.
This is David.
The birthday boy. We'll refer to him as the birthday boy from now on. Yeah. And his gift is gift is in this box, and this box is
making noise here. I'm giving it back to the Japan 2.0 audience because this is a listener request topic and episode. Although we had kind of similar, we were considering doing just the animals in Japan, but we were asked to talk about pets and pet life and what it's like to own pets out here. So we will extend that to pets.
For those of you who don't know. Japan 2.0, we have this document and we go through it and we decide which topics to do. Mm-hmm. And we write those topics in there. And we've had animals for a long time.
Yes.
And I think both David and I have some opinions on animals. Mm-hmm. and how Japan's relationship to animals. And I think that's what we know a lot more because neither David and I have pets.
Let's talk about our background with animals.
Well, actually, I do have pets, but they're not
classic. Yeah,
they're not a classic pet.
So let's talk about, first of all, I had a very close admiration for animals growing up at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that I remember like America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yes.
Everyone knows that show.
Yeah, of course.
Like one time a cat
fell off. Bob Saget, the funniest comedian of all time. Yeah.
Yeah. A cat fell off of a TV on there, and you know, they had the laugh track, and I just remember like, I started like crying. I thought, "What cat got hurt? What happened to him?" And my dad just like stood up and was like, "What is wrong with you?" Like he just basically told me to man up, you know. Yeah. And I did not, and I was like sobbing for like an hour, and I was like so sad. There was this movie called The Bear. And it was like this kind of I don't know if it's like documentary
or kidding?
Fictional. Yeah.
No, The Bear was recorded when I lived up in Yosemite.
Okay.
And I went to school with one of the actors' like daughters.
All right. Yeah. It's kind of told the story of a bear crazy. And basically like
I can't believe you know that.
One of the bear's parents dies in the end. I saw this when I was like 5 years old, and I couldn't go to school like the next. I cried for days. So I used to be very much an animal lover, and I mainly had cats growing up. Over my life, I've had like 20, 25 cats or so. Lived on like farms and stuff. And then, moved to like a suburban house and still had tons of cats. And I've always been, I have a admiration for cats. I really, really like them. Had dogs. Mostly, I like big dogs, labs and stuff. But never got quite as close. I think my parents just always got rid of our dogs. Like, whenever, I had a dog that bit someone one time. So they said it was too dangerous to have it. Or one time they got me a dog and I was too young to really take care of it, so they said, this was a mistake. So I never got too attached to dogs. This day, though, at the age of 36 years young, I'm not really, to be honest, in the idea of having a pet anymore. I think it has to come down to, like, all the responsibility, and I had one for so long that I kind of want freedom. Now I have a child as well, so there's only so much freedom that could be had, but I think with the lifestyle that we live, traveling and stuff, I don't have to think about putting a pet in a kennel. I like having kind of a nice house. Part of having pets growing up was I never had a nice house, and I always kind of smelled weird. And I think I hit a certain age where I didn't like that anymore, having hair all over my clothes and things. And so I'm not the biggest like pet or animal lover now, but I used to be. And I think it's important to know that background so you can take my opinion with a grain of salt.
Yes.
What about you, Matt? What's your history with animals?
Well, my history with animals goes back to childhood. I mean, we've had lots of animals over the years. It began with rabbits.
and I owned rabbits. Mm. I owned mice. I owned, we had cats and dogs. Mm. So growing up, we always had cats around. We usually had like two or three cats, you know, house cats. That increased. We had more cats as time went on. And then my sister brought home a lot of pets. So cats, dogs, birds. We had an aviary at one point, so we had lots of birds.
What is an aviary?
An aviary is like
a... I know, of course, but for those who don't, like for those who don't know.
It's kind of like a pen for birds. It's a big, usually outdoors. It could be indoors, but if you live in a climate that's, suitable for birds, you could have it outdoors. Net
on top to keep them in?
It's kind of like chicken wire.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you just put up chicken wire and you just enclose this large area. Mm. It's like a big cage, a glorified cage. Mm. We had goats. We had a goat, a pygmy goat named Peggy.
Yeah.
And for those of you who know what 4-H is, I was a 4-H nerd.
I never knew this about you. This is a rare new deep dark secrets.
This is why I'm the messed up person I am today.
Yeah. That's why we do a podcast to cathartically get it out.
Yes. I even did. I wore like the little green cap and everything, and I went what? And I shared. I took my goat to the fair. And I even did a, my goat was
high school, middle school.
Oh, I was like a kid. I was like 8 years old. Okay, maybe. Okay, elementary. And, so I took the goat to the fair, got no prize because my goat was so misbehaved. And, and I've had pets, a bunch of other pets ever since, hamsters, everything.
I mean, you're very more, outside the box with your pet experience. I just had cats and dogs.
Yeah, but we had a crow once. That was a good one.
I wanted you to talk about, because I'd say to the, so now, we both came from a background, we had a lot of pets. Yours sounds much more intense than mine. But the thing I know about you now is that you, of all animals, I think you really like crows much more than the normal person.
Yeah, do you want to start with that?
Yeah, let's talk about crows. Crows.
So, let's get into it.
Crows in Japan?
Yeah, crows in Japan. Yeah, we should talk about that. Yeah. So one thing that I want to talk about before we get into any of these animals is I've lived in South Korea. Mm. I've been to Thailand, the Philippines, Malaysia. Each place has its, some of them have a more diverse, animal population. Mm-hmm. And I would say Korea is on the lesser side. I rarely saw animals when I lived in South Korea.
Talking about Seoul specifically, right?
Yeah, but I lived in the suburbs, and it was a hilly area. You would think you would see more wild animals on occasion, different birds and things like that. And you do see birds more than anything else, but I never saw a lot of mammals and stuff. Japan's a different story.
Even roadkill. You don't see a lot of roadkill in Korea. That, to me, was the big thing.
That's an indicator that there's not a lot of wild animals around.
You brought this up way back then, almost 10 years ago or whatever. And I remember never thinking about it. I've never thought about that before. I think you're on to something,
Yeah. Since I've been in Japan, I've seen a number of wild animals and on a pretty regular consistency. I see wild animals in the streets.
Do you have any theories to why that is, that Korea wouldn't have a lot of animals and Japan does, even in the cities? We live in a city.
I mean, this is just a theory, and somebody, if you would like to correct me, and I don't mean to offend anyone, but my assumption would be that after the Korean War, things were probably pretty rough. Mm. And maybe hunting had to be a part of your daily life, and so maybe some of the animals that you would have found were hunted for meals and things.
I have also uneducated theory that maybe that Japanese people are a little more they like to take care of animals a little bit more than maybe Koreans would, because maybe they had extra resources or things like that, again, stemming to war times. I find that in my neighborhood here, for example, I always see cans of cat food out on the street, or people kind of just taking care of stray animals here. Where in Korea, when I lived in Hongdae, something that was very particular about Hongdae, that one neighborhood, people were that way with especially cats.
Yeah.
But all the other places I lived in Korea, I didn't ever really see people. I actually kind of saw the opposite sometimes, where a cat would walk by and people would
freak out.
Kick it, not kick the cat, but kind of kick in their direction or throw something at them. And Again, I'm not making any judgments or saying it's negative. It's just a different observation that I had. That yeah, it seemed like people were a little more weirded out. Oh, in Korea, they always said cats were scary.
Yeah,
their eyes were scary.
Yeah, students say that cats were scary. Yeah,
and then Japan, I don't know. It seems like they really like cats here. This is one animal example, you know. I think they quite like dogs in Korea a lot, you know.
I think, you know, also the environment makes a difference, you know, where Korea is a lot of granite and a lot of granite hills and stuff. And just there's not it's probably as much
flora and fauna
to provide for animals. So I think part of it has to do with just environment. And the other part is that, you know, that maybe they just the cities and stuff have really taken a toll on like the animal life.
In terms of like longitude, you know, where we are now is similar to like a Busan kind of area in Korea, so about 4 hours south of where we were living in Korea, and by car or train. And I was just walking down the street, I see like a crab go by like all the time, like geckos and lizards.
Yeah,
and some of this is, you know, for me, things I liked about Korea, like spiders, man, here are freaky, like crazy, like what we call them, rainforest style spiders that you would not think.
Wolf spiders.
The wolfman ones are crazy. Wolf spiders. But you get ones with like green markings on their back and stuff too.
Yeah, we have the one with the skull markings.
Yeah, I wish those animals weren't around.
Yeah.
But no, honestly, you get like a wide variety of animals here. It's not just like the cats and dogs, you know?
No, very true. I think, I think part of it is that there's food around, you know. I think that has a lot to do with it. I think that depends on whether or not they have the food sources available. Because I live in the city. I live in Osaka City. Mm-hmm. And really, I'm in the middle of the city. It's city all around, right? I don't have, like, we have parks. And we have, I mean, but there's no mountains. There's no forest. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no fields, rice fields or anything. It's buildings. Yeah. But I still see some wild animals out there.
Mm.
Yeah, so I think it's just a matter of like, you know, what they have access to. And it depends on the types of animals. I'm sure some of the animals that were native to my area have long gone, right? Mm. But
if you were to ask me though, I mean, maybe we're talking about Korea and Japan too much, but like, I couldn't tell you an animal is native to Seoul or Korea. Like,
the only thing I could think of is the wild boars. Like, you know, wild boars are native to Korea, and we have them here. I mean, just we know somebody that was attacked by a wild boar
in Kobe.
Kobe.
In Kobe. Like, so again, kind of like a suburb outside, but still, I think proper Kobe. They were coming home from a grocery store, and a boar like attacked them for the food for the groceries. And when we'd go around that area, we'd always just see like boars like just sleeping alongside like a river, you know, like just be 10 feet away from them. Huge, big boars, you know. I think the government has come in and kind of like got rid of them. I don't know how exactly, but they're not
hopefully in a humane way.
Yes, yeah, they're not there as much anymore. But yeah, Japan, you see a lot of kind of wildlife around you. And I do think things are relative, and maybe it's not as good as it used to be, but they do a good job here kind of preserving nature and animals. And I did a kind of story, we did like a news headline one before about the community taking care of a bird's nest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my local shops, when there's bird's nests up in their signs, they really take care of them and make sure the signs aren't on to bother them. And I really like that about Japan. It makes me more conscious about doing it myself too, you know?
Yeah, I think there's a culture kind of taking care of like cute things, like cute creatures, you know, and I wonder if that trickles down to animals. And there seems to be a fascination with insects and stuff.
But even things like spiders are not cute, at least to me.
Yeah.
But most Japanese people don't kill spiders. Or like, I think we talked about the kids kind of doing it before, but most adults don't. And then famously, like those huntsman spiders that are horribly frightening, a lot of Japanese people keep them alive in the house. That's like good luck.
Yeah, I wonder if it's part of like the Shinto Buddhism. It might have something to do with like taking care of the life. Yeah, we'll have to ask somebody about that in the future, but I imagine that has something to do with it. And actually is a good transition into talking about crows
for a minute. Yeah, let's get into that.
Okay, so I went to a temple, one of the few temples that appreciates the crow as like an icon. And that was in Wakayama. And I believe if you go back to our Instagram, you can find some photos of this. But it was a whole temple that was dedicated to, like, a three-legged crow.
Did you go there on purpose, like, looking for this? Or
No. I mean, it was my tour guide, our mutual friend Akira, took us there. And it was one of the most beautiful temples I had ever been to. I can't remember the name. I apologize. But usually, crows in Japan are kind of considered it bad luck, you know? And this was kind of a unique because they were appreciating the crows in Japan. They're kind of, I think it's very similar to, like, in the, I think it's Native Americans that believe, like, the crow is kind of like a trickster or a, you know, like somebody who can fool people, right?
Definitely a trickster, and yeah.
And so, maybe this temple was appreciating that cleverness or something, but yeah, man, there's crows and ravens in this all over Japan, and they have a very unique, like, call. I remember one of my good friends, Fernando, had come to Japan before I had a chance to go, and he said, even the crows speak a different language, you know? Yeah. And I thought that that was, like, a really poetic way to say that they sound different, you know? And, yeah, hearing the crows in the morning is, like, tradition for me. Like, I get up, I go outside, and I hear, I can't do it, you know, caw, caw, you know?
It's different, yeah.
But,
I mean, the crows are huge, first of all.
There's ravens.
Okay, I don't know the difference.
So ravens have a bigger beak, and their beak kind of crown, it, like, goes to, like, their forehead. It's, like, a lot
higher up.
Yeah. And a lot bigger. And then crows are the smaller version. Okay. So, yeah.
Well, there's a lot of ravens here. Yeah. They're huge. They are frightening. Like, they come down. Maybe it's, like, because I live around a school, maybe people feed them. I don't know. But they get very close, and I'm like, that thing could kill me. That beak could definitely kill me if it wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, people have known, like, after tragedies and stuff, people have had problems with crows, you know, attacking people, and I mean, it does happen. They're opportunistic, and they will attack, like animals and stuff that have been injured, and they don't care that they're still alive. You know, they'll eat. The thing that people have said are they're kind of like magpies, and I mean, magpies are related, you know. And they'll eat, like, the eyes of animals that are, like, injured and stuff. And that's pretty scary.
Gnarly, yeah.
So I think there's a reason why, like, people are fearful of crows or have, like, that maybe a healthy fear or, you know, respect, you know? Yeah. Like, cautious respect for
respect
crows.
Respect the crow,
And they will go through the trash.
I know we want to talk specifically about Japanese, like, street cats, right?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, so I was telling Matt earlier when we were talking about this episode that for me, one of the observations about Japanese street cats is they're very ugly. It's subjective, of course, but I think one of my favorite kind of cat breeds is, like, the Siamese. And in my neighborhood growing up, we kind of had a lot of street cats and stuff, and sometimes they were just so cute and so pretty, and I thought, like, how is this a street cat? You know, like, I want this cat looks clean, it looks nice, it's got, like, a sleek-looking face, you know? The ones out here, I've never been a big fan of, like, long-haired cats, first of all. So a lot of long-haired, mid to long-haired cats out here.
Mm-hmm.
And their faces are a little of the smushy kind of variety, you know?
Okay.
And just, like, a really kind of round face and not more of a pointy kind of sleek face, you know? They don't look like a feline. They look more like, what's the Maru, the cat? A YouTube star, Maru?
Oh, yeah. So he's a good Scottish Fold.
Okay.
Yeah, so the breed is Scottish Fold, and they typically have a more flattened...
I have our album art for this. Yeah, I sent you that suitcase of a Scottish Fold.
Oh, yes.
We'll use that.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, so he's a Scottish Fold. So the ones in the street aren't, like, full Scottish Folds, but they're in that direction, like, their faces.
Yeah, my sister's a bigger expert on this, and she told me something about, like, their skull shapes, you know, like cat skull shapes. Some are considered like apple heads, which I thought was like a really funny name.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert. It
sounds like a derogatory term.
People are going to really probably come
out. No, it's pear heads. Yeah, it's pear heads.
I'm sorry. But I believe there's like two varieties, and one is like more of like the, I think it has something to do with like related to like the Egyptian cat kind of like face shape or the apple head shape.
I like the Egyptian one. Yeah. That's definitely what I like.
But yeah, you do find that you get
some rough cats, right?
Some rough cats. Yeah. Like, I mean, I typically think of the books, like there are a lot of books and magazines based about cats in Japan. Mm-hmm. If you go into like a Village Vanguard or a Standard bookstore, or
there's full cat calendar. I guess back home we have that too, but it's on a different level here.
It's on a different level
there. There'll be ones with just like old ladies and cats. Cat celebrities are just cats wearing like bandanas or something, like the most nuanced levels of like dedication to like cat photos.
Yeah. And
like full magazines of this. I bet you there's like a monthly magazine. It's just like cute cat photos.
Oh, it's definitely photographers obsessed with like cats and taking photos of cats. And those cats are really cute, really nice. They obviously look good. We know, personally, we know Negi.
That's right.
And Negi's famous. A celebrity cat. And that's right. He is a very
Umkeriko's cat, our favorite cafe restaurant.
Yeah. Very handsome cat. And if you go into, if you visit Umkeriko, please ask them to show you some of the magazines that Negi's been in. Yeah. And if you like cats, they might even bring Negi out for a visit if you're personable with them. Yeah. And if Negi's in the mood, they're not going to bring him out if he's not in the mood. But yeah, I think that the cats on the street, there are a lot of people that feed cats outside, and those cats are rough. Yeah. Like, usually missing half their tails.
I've seen eyes missing like, pretty often. Oh, man. The tail things, yeah, you don't often... You got a high chance of not seeing a full tail on a cat here. Yeah, I think some of them maybe genetically come that way.
Well, there's such a thing as bobcats, right. But like in my neighborhood, there's a bunch of cats that have like half tails. Yeah. And like one tail, you know, like at an L, you know? Like there's definitely something happened.
So the weird thing is, like I said, like people take care of the cats here generally, right? And in Korea, I saw people like kind of being afraid of cats. But yet the cats here look worse than the street cats in like Korea. I don't get it. It's been a big mystery. I mean, we should have done it in the Mysteries About Japan episode.
Yeah,
like,
I don't
know. Why are they so torn up?
Part of me thinks that, like, you know, Japan is typically an older, you know, it's an older country. Like, the people are older. You know, maybe these cats are older cats. You know, maybe it's just, like, a lot of old cats, you know,
just outside, like the people you know? Live to the old age here.
Yeah.
The cats live the old
age. I mean, these ladies like are, theory. You know, out taking care of them all the time. I mean, once again... You know, why couldn't they be older cats, you know, and that's why they look so messed up.
I have a quick aside that when it's breeding season, the sounds of the cats here, I've never lived anywhere where it's like that bad. Like, they are just all hours of the night, the worst times, just moaning. Like, your neighborhood too?
Yeah, yeah.
It's horrible. Like, I've almost thought about, like, I like cats and stuff, but like, yeah, throwing something in their direction just so I can sleep.
Like Garfield comics?
Yeah, yeah, it's like bad. Throwing the rocks at them? That's really obnoxious. Have you ever had them keep you up, like, all night?
I mean, I hear them, but luckily I'm on the third floor of a building, so, you know, I'm still a distance. But, yeah.
I thought it was my old place. I moved to a new place now. And already, we have one that's recently been going off, and a student in my class lives in about an hour away from me, said same thing in his neighborhood. So
yeah.
I don't know if it's the warm winter we're having here or what, but starting early, the mating season.
I guess the feral cats, you know. I mean, feral cats, you always get that, you know, the sounds of the mating call and stuff.
For me, it's unique to Japan. Dogs, you want to move the dogs?
One last thing I wanted to bring up about cats, and it was that, you know, there are some government programs where they go around and they spade and neuter cats.
Yeah, they tag the ear.
Yes.
There's, like, posters for it everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, if in some temples and some parks and stuff, there are a lot of cats around, and the government will come in and neuter them. Mm-hmm. And then they have special people that are supposed to take care of those cats. So there was one event with my buddy Akagai. We were out in Tokyo, and we saw these cats, and we just wanted to take photos of these cats because we knew this little park. My first trip out there, I found all these cats, and there was one we dubbed Snow Meow.
Snow Meow.
And we were trying to find Snow Meow a second time. Yeah. And we couldn't find Snow Meow. But we found the cats. And we were trying to take pictures and stuff. And Akagai went to approach this woman who was feeding the cats. And he was going to ask, like, can they take pictures and stuff? And she got really aggressive with him. And
why? Do you know why?
I don't know why. She was, like, kind of, like, shouting at him. And she looked really angry. Mm-hmm. And then... I asked Akagai, came back, and I said, man, was everything okay? She seemed kind of upset. And he was like, Yeah, she wasn't happy. And then that was it. That was it. He didn't tell me like the details. But I think, you know, the people that are in charge of taking care of the cats in these places might be a little bit, you know, I mean, just serious about their job, right?
Interesting, yeah.
So once again, like, I think that people that feel, some people feel a big responsibility for taking care of animals, even if they are outdoors or they're feral, you know.
So there's a lot of street cats here, and it's a big part of the culture, I think. Living culture, if you're traveling here, you know, might not notice it out in the city.
Yeah.
But dogs, you know, you don't see a lot of street dogs, you know, walking around and stuff. Dogs are definitely more pets, which I think will be our second part. Yeah. This episode, now we'll get into pets. But let's take a break before that.
Mm-hmm.
You're a bad kitty cat. Cut your claws right now. Come on down from the roof. Shave your whiskers too.
Japan hack. It's been a long time since we've done one of these.
Sometimes we don't do segments anymore.
We often don't do segments anymore. We
forget about them.
Yeah. I don't forget. They're just, I don't want to force them, you know, just when they're natural like it is today.
Yeah.
This one has nothing to do with pets or animals.
Okay.
But I was just thinking about it when Matt and I were out walking around today, hanging out, that bathrooms. Oftentimes, you're in Japan, you need to go to the bathroom. One of the easiest ways to do it is just pay money to go somewhere that has a bathroom. I know oftentimes me and my family will do that. Like, I guess I'll just buy something at Starbucks so I can use the bathroom, or buy something here or there. But if you're in a big crowded area, like department stores are another good place to get a free bathroom, but I find they're really crowded. Yes. And I've had to like go to the second floor where the bathroom's supposed to be, and it's packed. I'm like, all right, I'll go up to the fourth floor, and that's packed too. And I've gone up to like the 10th floor before, just looking for an open bathroom.
If you're a woman, you have my sympathies, because I've seen lines worse. You know, Emily complains all the time about like the lines at department stores.
So when you're in a big kind of crowded area, it can be hard to find a bathroom sometimes and just get some peace and quiet. But there's one kind of secret spot.
This is one of my favorite hacks ever, because it's so good.
It's so true.
It's so good, and I use this one all the time. Yeah.
Go to a video game arcade, or what it's called here, game centers in Japanese.
Yes.
Game center. And the bathrooms there, for whatever, those places can be kind of smoky and loud and a little grimy. And you would, I don't know, you think kind of the people that go there, maybe it's, you're not thinking that's going to be like the best bathroom to go to, but something about the arcade bathrooms are always like pristine condition and really, really clean, and no one's ever in them.
Sometimes these arcades that we go into are like the grimiest, stickiest, smokiest, nastiest places. Then the bathroom is really nice.
Maybe it's not going to be the best bathroom ever, but at least be pretty good. But sometimes it is really, really good too. But you never get like, bad. I mean, Japan in general, the bathrooms are great, right? But you just, it's step up from the environment. And no one thinks to go there, so they're not crowded.
So women, there's never a line.
Especially girls, because
never a line.
It's 80% men at these places. But even for guys, you know, they're totally open. So that's a great one for girls, especially.
Yeah, I think that it's one of those untapped markets. And if there was any way we can tap into that, No, I love it. I think that this is a great idea.
It's totally free to walk in. There's very few like people working at arcades, so it's not like weird. You don't have to like be awkward and avoid eye contact. It's a great one to just go in, go out. No one's gonna look at you.
They're not always in like every neighborhood.
You have to be in a big you know, area.
Yeah, but if you are
Namco,
around
one, Sega, Taito.
Yeah,
those are the
Taito
big
ones. Is another big
one. So if you're on Google Maps, you know, you just search in, just type in Game Center or. Yeah, it'd be the best one.
Yeah.
Because they use arcade here for shopping arcades a lot. So, yeah, Game Center is what you probably want to type in the Google Maps and pull up your nearest one and you just go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I always find, like, there's a department store that, like, you know, I'll find a department store that's good for this stuff, like Tokyu Hands is a good one. But it's always good to have more options in your neighborhoods, because there are times where you get out in a neighborhood and you're walking around shopping and stuff, and a toilet's not always necessarily easy to find.
Yeah, temples or shrines are another good one. Those might be prevalent in more rural areas.
Clean bathrooms.
They always have bathrooms, but the quality is not to the arcade level. Or, you know, a lot of bathrooms are great, but they're too crowded. That's the problem.
Temples take better care of their cats than they take care of the bathrooms.
That's correct. But anyway, that's it. Short one. But yeah, it's a very useful one, I think.
Japan 2.0.
Hacks, 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 hacks.
Kitty, I'm sorry. Kitty, I'm sorry. I was harsh with you.
please forgive me. Kitty, come to me. Kitty, come to me. Fishy treats for you if you come to me.
Hey, can I have a bite of your New York cheesecake?
No.
Wow. Harsh. Sorry, I'm hangry.
Talking dogs.
Talking dogs. All right, so we're here now to kind of talk about pets.
Yes.
And, you know, dogs will probably be a big portion of that. So, yeah, we've come to learn. I never knew that there's a kind of a cult following for, like, Shiba Inu and Akita dogs outside of Japan. Of course, in Japan, you see them often, but it's just
you see them all the time.
It's one of the more common
breed, yeah.
Breed here, but it seems like it's become a thing outside of Japan. And I know friend of the show, Albert, was telling me that growing up, he had Shiba Inu, and he really liked it because it was kind of special to have out in L.A. and stuff. He never saw people with them. People would always ask him if it was a fox. He's like, whoa, you guys have like a fox, you know?
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, it kind of just lost the allure as more and more people started to get him. But yeah, so you know, people have asked about them. Yeah, they're very prevalent. It's just kind of like a lab back home, you know? I'd say a lab's probably one of the most common dogs you see. Similar here.
I mean, you see them all the time. I have a neighbor that walks his three Shiba Inus all around town. He's not my favorite neighbor. He's kind of grumpy. Yeah. And one of the dogs is missing an eye. Mm-hmm. And he leaves that one tied up outside of, like, all day long. So I'm not thrilled about this guy. But Shiba Inus, like, when you see them in pictures, when you see them on TV and stuff, they do look really clean. They do look really nice. Mm. But a lot of people out here, you know, they just treat them like whatever dogs, you know? And so, like, some people are really good and they take care of them really well. But then if you live in, like, the suburbs and just, like, in the neighborhoods, there's a lot of, like, kind of messed up Shiba Inus around.
I guess this is a true observation where if you would see people having them back home, they would probably, like, I'm sure there's, like, importing or, like, breeder fees and things. And, yeah, you'd probably be pretty well off or something if you had one, I would guess. We're out here, yeah, they're just kind of like a dime a dozen. So, yeah, that's probably a good thing to observe is that they're probably not as pristine.
Yeah, that one-eyed, like, and I wonder, like, how he lost his eye because it's kind of empty. Like, the socket's empty.
Wow, yeah.
You know, and it's not, like, usually you see it kind of smashed or something. But, yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, so, you know, pets are definitely a big deal out here. I had a neighbor at my old place who seemed to be a dog walker. She had these kind of dogs that are like a similar size, a little bit smaller than a Shiba Inu, and they're very like shaggy. And she's always walking like five of those things around. Yeah. I'm not quite sure if they're her own or. You rarely see big dogs.
It's usually small house dogs, apartment dogs. So, you know, you see a lot
of... Like a Shih Tzu, is that...
Yeah, Shih Tzu is very common. Pomeranians are common. Chihuahuas are common. Yeah. Poodles are common.
Yeah.
However, people that do own homes might have a larger dog. So
where I live, you see larger dogs a lot. It's kind of the common dog, actually, I see.
Our like Labradors and things?
Labs, yep. Yeah, lab or similar. I don't know my dog breeds that well, but similar. I'm familiar with like Huskies, Alaska Malamutes, Golden Retrievers. I don't see a lot of those Dobermans, so they might have kind of unique breeds here. Maybe there's kind of mutts too, but yeah, they're the size of a lab. That's probably most common in Sumo where I live, but it's by a big beach and stuff, so that's not the norm for sure. Small dogs.
Park get togethers are a big thing. So if you go to a park on a Saturday or a Sunday, and especially if you go in the mornings around 10 o'clock, you'll notice that like there are these gatherings of people and their dogs. And, it's really common. Like almost every park that I go to in my neighborhood has these groups and you could tell like who's in, who's out, you know, which dogs they like. It's funny watching the faces of the people. When they see a dog coming up that they don't like, they all kind of look at each other and roll their eyes and go like, oh, no, this dog's really misbehaved. And
another unique thing I've seen, too, is they kind of gather by breed sometimes.
Mm.
So I'll see, like, people with all the same breed of dog hanging out together. And it has to be, like, some kind of, like, message board or forum on the internet that they find each other with, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of fascinating that. You know, I don't, again, as someone who's not a big pet owner anymore, to, like, find each other by the, like, breed of your dog. I don't know. They're all dogs, right?
But people take it serious.
Yeah,
serious that you'll occasionally see a stroller And you'll go, there's going to be a baby.
It's a good observation.
But then when you go around the corner and you look at it, it's not a baby in there. It's a dog.
Almost
it's
always those ones have clothes on too, right?
Yeah. Oh, man. There's a lot. There's definitely got to be a big business for dog clothes.
Dog clothes, yeah.
And I mean, in the winter, it gets cold. Mm. And some of these breeds are not built for, you know, for cold winters like this. So it's good that they put on a sweater, you know, for certain breeds.
Yeah.
Poodles don't necessarily need it because they're bred for, you know, colder weather. They have that curly warm hair, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
There's you different know, kinds right? of poodles. Labradoodles, poodles. So you do see a good amount of dogs here. They are much smaller in general. I knew a little bit more about dogs in Korea, and I do know in Korea that like apartments and stuff often wouldn't allow them, which is true here too. But people like would remove their voice box, or they do something so they couldn't bark, and you could kind of hear it still sometimes. Actually, like when you'd walk by, you'd hear
like a wheeze.
It's like this wheezing sound. Yeah, it's pretty sad. Obviously,
I'm sure that happens here too. It's like a surgery that people do to remove the voice box so they don't get in trouble for having
but
them
it's
in apartments.
People live in such close quarters, small places, you know, and we've talked about it before. But the insulation is so bad, and you can just kind of hear a lot of sounds here. So, I guess people like would turn each other in or something.
Yeah.
So I can't speak for Japan. I've never witnessed it here, but in Korea, I heard it a good amount of time. So,
yeah, when you sign your contract, usually it says, you know, whether or not you could have dogs. Mm. And it's some of my coworkers and stuff have had struggles trying to find an apartment or a house that will allow dogs.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's something you have to do, you know, you have to put in your research and you have to ask people. Sometimes initially they'll say no pets, but then when you say, listen, I had this pet for like, you know, 14 years, it's going to get a shot. It's coming over from, you know, the United States
or something.
Or it's
a really small pet or something. Then they'll,
yeah. It's really well behaved and they might make an exception.
Mm.
My apartment says no pets, but definitely the person that was in my apartment before had a cat because there's one area where it's just ripped to shreds. And I was like, yeah, I know that look.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cat like sharpening its claws.
Yeah. Well, you have some pets. Why don't you talk about your pets?
Yeah. So I have salamanders.
That's right.
They're called oxtols. Mexican salamanders, if you want to be politically...
Represent
Mexico, right? And, they're just in a... I mean, I keep them in a tank with a filter. You could get some exotic pets from certain pet stores.
Yeah.
We don't have, like, big exotic pet markets.
I had a beetle named Crocodile that my son
That's
named.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And he didn't last so long. We caught him just outside, you know, in the wild.
Yeah.
And they don't live very long, so... We had him for about 6 months, and then he passed away. But, so you get alternative animals here sometimes.
Yeah.
And they don't allow dogs or cats.
Yeah, birds and fish, excuse me, are always...
Did you just have the two salamanders? Did you have something, you had fish before that
no.
or something? Never anything
just
else?
Just two salamanders. Yeah. I thought of putting fish in with the salamanders, but I heard that they could get sick because they'll try to eat them.
Mm.
And after my salamanders started eating each other, I realized like, well, yeah, maybe we should separate them and not get them fish.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about getting them cherry shrimp for
a treat. Yeah.
But yeah, you have to watch after them. It's a whole process. Yeah. I don't want to do it incorrectly.
Yeah. If you want to live in Japan and you have a pet, good luck. You can do it. You can do it. It's just an uphill battle. And
it's very difficult.
It takes time.
Too, yeah.
Basically island, any island place you're going to go to, it's going to be a hard time because they try to contain diseases a little bit more than larger land masses.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think
I've seen some exotic pets. I'll talk about this for a second.
All right.
If you go to Namba, if you're in the Namba area in Osaka, there is a store called Daiki. And on the second floor, there's an exotic pet store where they have scorpions, spiders, foxes, meerkats, and owls.
Sometimes just normal kind of grocery hardware stores, too. Like Life Mart. There's a Life Mart in Namba.
Yeah.
You guys took me to before. I had owls and stuff.
Right? That's a Daiki.
Oh, yeah, turn it in. Okay,
yeah, right. Life Mart's on the bottom floor. Daiki is on
like
the
Conan's like
Conan.
A home improvement.
Yeah, Conan.
They have some, again, unusual... Not scorpions, but, like, yeah, owls and stuff.
It's basically like a Home Depot with, like, a small pet store attached to it. Yeah.
Mm.
Pet shops are pretty, I mean, pretty much near any major mall, they're pet shops.
I don't know if it's just a Kobe thing, but maybe it's like a franchise that came in here, but we have a pet shop and it's kind of like moving a lot. Like there's one and now there's like four or five of them.
Yeah.
It's got a really like pungent smell when you walk in there. Not an animal smell, like they're trying to cover up the animal smell too much with like a very feminine kind of smell that I don't like as a guy.
It might be what we use like in our classrooms, which is like a, it's like an alcohol air purifier, and it doesn't smell great.
They're like these super sterile, clean shops, and it's got the dog in the window, kind of classic mall scene in the States. And I'd say like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I didn't see many places like that. And in Kobe, they're popping up a lot. The prices are just insane. Like just for, I just look at a cat, and it's not like a breed I recognize or anything. It's like $2,000-$3,000 for just a cat.
You know? It must be the economy, you know? Maybe as the economy picks up, pets become a little more...
I don't know, but...
A luxury item to have.
A lot of my students, you know... I mean, I grew up going to, like, the Humane Society and stuff. Yeah. To get our animals, and a lot of my students are involved in that here, and there are parallels to Humane Society, and it's, number one, much cheaper to get an animal from there, and number two, it definitely helps out a lot. Like we said before, there's so many kind of feral street cats and stuff here.
Yes.
And, so... If you are going to get an animal here, I would definitely recommend going to those places because the kind of awareness for that doesn't seem to be as big as it is back home.
Yeah.
In Western countries. So.
And that's why we're here. You know, we want to remind you to get your cat or dog spayed and neutered.
Thanks, Bob.
You're welcome.
I think that's about all I have to say on
pets. I was channeling Bob Barker, I was doing my seance before.
You're glowing, radiant. Thank
you. The price is right.
That's right. Anyway, that's it, right?
I mean, if you have any questions about animals or pets, you know, please send them to Japan 2.0. We're all over the internet. It's Japan, spell out point, and zero at the end.
That's right.
And at gmail.com, at Facebook, at Twitter, and Instagram, and everywhere you could possibly imagine.
Send us your pet or animal questions or stories, and in a future episode, maybe we'll include it in our middle segment and goes in the middle.
After episode 100, we had a lot of good responses, and we got a lot of good stories. And if you have a story about Japan or about pets in Japan or anything related, just send them our way.
You're too late for that episode, but you still wanted to share a story. We'll just put it in a normal episode right in the middle, and we'll talk about it.
How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you again for listening. I mean, we appreciate all of you. And, we want to hear from you. So please subscribe, share it with your friends. Tell them about the glory that is Japan 2.0.
That's right.
This new year, I think we're going to get to 1 million listeners.
Yes.
Get
ready for those ads and sponsors.
Oh,
and
man.
MailChimp,
Squarespace. We're going to have MeUndies. MeUndies, here we come. You haven't contacted us yet, now is your chance.
We know you've been waiting.
Yeah, I know, like... what was the box? Loot Crate is like bankrupt. But you know what? Japan 2.0 bump, you'll be back on top.
That's right. 2020 is a year for you.
Yeah, that's
keep on listening. And until next time, see you in 2 weeks.
Yes. Peace.
Been
playing up to me. You think John ate our pizza? Totally. He was acting naive. But he can't resist that artichoke pizza. Kitty meow, acting.